Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Outstanding, outstanding, people around the globe. Get ready, because we've got an exciting show for you tonight. Fasten your seatbelts, folks, because we got my old brother, who's gone on many expeditions, Don Monroe, with us tonight. That's
Ooh.
Right. Good old Don, the expedition leader, the man that traveled the world. Knows a little bit about something, but nothing about nothing. But he's my man. And let me tell you something. I'll put him up against any of the scholars of today. Wait. We got our guy out there in North Carolina, Leo, the state trooper. Unbelievable. Guys have asked for it. They said, Tommy, let us know what happened to the Finding for Bigfoot crew. Last week, he got a hold of my co-host, Rocky, and he says, hey, boss, he says the Leo knows the 411 on everything. I said, well, let me get a hold of him. We got him in there tonight. He's with us tonight. And we got a surprise guest, which I just met recently on the phone. Her name is Harriet McFreely. This woman is a hoot. I really like her. She has the Bigfoot Nebraska Bigfoot Museum. She did it all on her own, ladies and gentlemen. She's a tiger, she's a mover, she's a shaker, and we got her with us today, okay? So before we get into all the excitement about Bigfoot around the globe, I want to ask my co-host, Rocky, how you doing, son?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great?
Yeah.
Did you do the Bigfoot boogie?
Oh, yeah. I just had to kick my shoes off so I could do it.
I understand that you're... you had to kick your shoes. It just got me. You got to forgive me. I see that your sidebar is there with you today, Swede. How you doing, Swede?
Yes, he is.
I'm doing good, Tom. It's good to hear you in there. I've been sandbagging the last couple shows, and I just wanted to give you some kudos on steering the ship, man. You got it as always.
Hey, man. I got some news towards the end of the show that I'm going to release to the world tonight, okay? And I hope my man DB is around. I'm not going to say his name, but that's his initials. Because I want to talk to him just briefly and give everybody a little lick of the lollipop later on tonight. But without any further ado, we talked about finding Bigfoot, ladies and gentlemen, last week. I must have got, I think it was, they counted up, the office counted 161 texts and messages and calls. They said, well, whatever happened to those people? I'm being kind. So that's what I told you. My co-host got a call from our gentleman out there in North Carolina. He says, well, I got the 411 on these cats. So I says, well, without any further ado, let's get him. And let me not belabor the point, but Leo, you out there? North Carolina.
I'm here, right? Godfather. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you and the family? Staying safe?
Hey, man, staying safe and hoping they open back up so I can run down to the UR and see if I can find a big fella.
Boy, I'll tell you, that would be a sure pleasure and a surprise. But the family's doing good?
Everybody's doing great. Can't complain.
Please be kind enough to say hello to Mama for me. You know I always respected her and have the greatest admiration.
I'll do it, sir.
Thank you. So without any further ado, tell everybody, starting from the crew, from the head man down, what you know about what's happened to the Finding Bigfoot crew.
Well, you got it, sir. Well, first of all, you got to look at the name, Finding Bigfoot. They never found a big guy. So that right there should be a light going off. And you got to look at it when you start talking about Matt Moneymaker, you know, you're talking about somebody that's not actually into this thing. He's not enthusiastic about this thing like you are, Godfather, about actually finding, you know, doing research and finding information about it. Basically, this guy owed a lot of people a lot of money. You know, a lot of expeditions they went on, they would rent equipment and people wouldn't get paid. So that started wreaking havoc on the show itself. And if you remember, Godfather, the first time that I met you, it was only for a split second, we was in Winterville, which was in Asheville, and it was near the Pisgah National Forest. And these guys had went out there before, prior to anybody else going out there, and they tried to obtain rights to certain property, and they couldn't. And so they started renting equipment and trying to go out and search for this creature, but they were also charging people. So a lot of people don't know that when you looked at Finding Bigfoot, you seen a crowd. Well, a lot of these people were paying to be, you know, on this expedition. Well, things start snowballing and coming downhill, and a lot of people don't know. It was a lot of grudges on that show. It was a lot of grudges on that show because things weren't going the way they were. And when they came here to North Carolina, you know, they wanted to go down to the famous Mike Green site down in Uwari Forest. And I was there for one day, and it pissed me off so much. They showed up with busloads of people, man. They had like 100 people in the forest looking for this creature. And think about it. If you're in the forest and you're a Bigfoot, you got 100 people coming in the forest, you're probably going to sit up on a hill and look down and laugh. Well, again, good old Mr. Matt Moneymaker, you know, he swindled a lot of people out a lot of money by, you know, trying to get equipment and use equipment. and he never did pay people back. And that's when the real grudges actually started. Since then, the show just flopped because some of the same areas they went back to, people didn't trust him anymore. So they basically just, the show just flopped because they weren't getting any kind of research that was viable for people to look at. And it basically just turned into like a reality show, almost like Atlanta Wives or something like that, Basketball Wives. That's what the show actually turned into. Basically at this point now, the show, they don't have any more episodes. Because
yeah, so let me explain something. Let me get a P.S. onto what you just said. Mm-hmm. When that thing started out by the producers of The Animal Planet, they came to me first, just like the rest of the channels did. But, you know, as you know, I don't work for free, nor do you or anybody else in this world. Everybody needs to work and earn a living to put a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food on their table to feed their families. Is that not correct?
That's correct, sir.
Right. So
that's
what
correct.
They wanted was everything for nothing, okay?
Exactly. Exactly. So.
And it bothers me, and then I understand shit rolls downhill. So therefore, what happens is Moneymaker and all his crew, he takes the top money and gives them nothing, or gives them, you know, pays for their traveling expense, room and board, and maybe a few stipends. Now,
well,
I'm not
he
sure
did,
I don't
he,
know
he
about
did some
that
of them
as
like
well
that,
as
Godfather.
You
he didn't
and
do
many
everybody
other
like
people
that.
Do, but I'm at the same point in time knowing that a lot of things you said are very, very truthful. And they were running off of my shirt tails, off of my show every week, and off of my movies. Those people all got my movies. They bought them all, okay? And they went to every one of the people that we've had over the last 20 years. So they piggybacked on all of the people in our fines. But and that's okay. We were there first when it happened. We recorded it first. And the one thing about film, ladies and gentlemen, it don't lie, it's real time. You know, my mama used to say, God bless her, when she was alive, believe nothing what you hear and only half of what you see. It's the truth. So now, the big question is, Leo, what happened to these guys? What happened to Moneymaker and what happened to Boo Boo the Clown or Bilbo, whatever the hell his name was, and then the gay girl and then the other guy? What happened to them?
Well, I will tell you this. You know, at this point in time, Moneymaker's got some pending lawsuits against him at this time because he tried to defame a lot of people when they wanted to come on the show, or he went to their prospective area where they had their sightings, and nothing happened for him, and it wasn't enough for him to air. So he took to Twitter and all these blogging social media to defame a lot of people. So he got some pending lawsuits. So right now, he's probably knee deep in lawsuits. Bobo Fay, he had a lot of health issues, from what I understand, and I understand he's probably laying low. Cliff is right now, I can say Cliff is, he's on a lot of expeditions. He's taking part in a lot of seminars. In fact, he came to North Carolina. He came to the Bigfoot Festival in Asheville, and in Marion, he came there and he spoke. So he's doing a lot of speaking. So right now, the show is basically disbanded, and the only person that's actively still searching is Cliff. You know, the other the cast members, they just out in limbo right now. So
I also heard that Moneymaker was in rehab. You hear anything like that?
I did hear that as well. And I think it was for painkillers or something of that sort. But I guess that goes with the territory. You start doing people wrong, it comes back on you tenfold. So
yeah, it's a shame. It really is. But you know what? You get what you give, and I've been a firm believer if you treat people right, they're going to treat you right, and if you're going to get back tenfold if you did it wrong. It's just amazing. So anything going new at the Awari Forest?
Right now, a lot of the trails have grown up. They did what you call a controlled burn a while back. And right now, everything is grown back up. There are some sightings out there now. Some people are going to the local media. Some people are keeping it to themselves. I'm getting ready to, you know, since this COVID-19 thing, everything's been laying low. So I'm getting ready to go back out and put some new trail cams out. A lot of campers are showing up down there. And you got a lot of people who are taken to the Uoy Forest, you know, for us looking for this creature. So, you know, when you're down on the trails, you see a lot of people there, and you know what they're there for. They're not experienced researchers, but they're just there to try to catch a glimpse of the big guy, hoping that they can. And a lot of people is trying to go to the area where Mike Green had his sightings, and I see a lot of people from out of state are there taking pictures. So it's some new sightings. Some are surfacing, and some people are scared to be, you know, they're going to be ridiculed. But I've talked to quite a few people down there that had some experiences.
You know, I got to tell you, just the second time you mentioned Mike Green. Mike Green is like a brother to me. I love the guy. One of the most informative Bigfoot researchers ever, and he was tight with the moneymaker people too. He got treated wrong, and which a lot of people have, and I'm sorry for all of that, folks. But at the same point in time, he has gone through a lot of illnesses, and if he's listening out there and he's got his ears on, Mike, we love you. We're still praying for you. And when you get better, you know you have an open invitation to come out on the show and discuss our experiences in the past, and we can have a few sentimental sighs and some laughs at the same time, and we're praying for you, buddy, and I know that you'll get through everything that you're going through. Leo, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much, and I know that anything's going on down in your neck of the woods, you'll be filling us in. So if you'd like to just mute yourself out, we got a whole lot of show left. And, you know, my buddy Don Morrow is going to be filling out the show towards the end. And him and I are never lost for words because he's the real, real explorer in this world when it comes to Bigfoot besides myself. Ladies
yes,
and gentlemen, thank you very so much, Leo, from North Carolina. We just got through hearing the story. So all of you people out there that wanted to know what happened to Moneymaker and his crew, just got the latest 411 on that story. Now we're going to go from that area to a place that's flat as hell. And I've been through there many, many times. It's called Nebraska, folks. And we're going to bring on the show. This woman is a hoot. I really like her. I talked to her for about 15, 20 minutes. I says, you know what? I'm going to get her on the show. Harriet Freely from Nebraska. She mans the Nebraska Bigfoot Museum, but the name has a lot more to go with that. We're going to get her on right now, and she'll tell you all about it. Harry, you out there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, you're an exciting woman, and why don't you tell everybody the real name? Because it's so long, I can't remember.
It's called the Nebraska Bigfoot Crossroads of America Museum and Research Center.
That's why I condensed it, folks. Say it one more time.
I forgot.
You forgot.
Yeah.
Rocky, this is the gal I was telling you about. She's a hoot. I really like her a lot. Harriet, this is my co-host, Rocky from Arkansas. Rocky, say hello to Harriet.
How are you, Harriet?
Hi, Rocky. How are you doing?
Oh, if I was doing any better, I'd probably be breaking the wall.
That's good. Well, I'm doing absolutely fantastic, but I'm getting better.
you really can't get any better than you are, girl. I'll tell you that. So, listen, I want you to tell the same story to my listeners around the globe. I'm going to give you the stage here in about 3 seconds. Tell them the part how you got into it. You didn't think there was many people in Nebraska, and then you started doing the Bigfoot conferences. Take the stage. It's on you now.
All righty. That's exactly right. For years, I have read books and watched TV and all that kind of thing. And later, my husband and I started going to conferences. But every time we went, we had to travel 1,000 miles one way. And I really got tired of that. And I said, you know, I wish we didn't have to go so far to conferences. And my husband said, well, why don't we just do one right here in Nebraska? And that idea never, ever occurred to me. And so we began planning our first conference. And Lyle Blackburn was our featured speaker. And we'd only been working on it about 3 months, and my husband had a stroke, and 6 months later, he died. And so I was really torn. I didn't think I could do it by myself. And fortunately, I got a grant from our town, and the first question that they asked me was, how many people do you expect on Friday night? And that was a really, really hard question, because at that time, I thought that I was the only person in Nebraska that was even remotely interested in Bigfoot. And so I said, well, gosh, I hope 25 people will come on Friday night. And as it turned out, we had 250 people that came. And I
Friday
was more
night.
Surprised. What'd you say?
On Friday night, right?
Yes, Friday night. And we had 25 chairs set up.
Okay.
So we started off with a real bang. And the next day on my grant, they said, on Saturday, how many people do you expect on Saturday? And I thought, oh, jeepers, well, 100 is really pushing it. But I said, okay, I expect 100 on Saturday. And as it turned out, we had almost 750 people.
Wow.
So I was just thrilled. I was excited. I was happy, but I was more shocked than anything. And
I mean, you know, I got to ask a question to some of my listeners that are on tonight. Leo, are you still with us? Leo, North Carolina, is he still with us, TC?
Yes, sir. I'm still here, sir.
Okay. Question I got for you, and Rocky, this question goes out to you, too. If she had a conference and she put on there that the Searching for Bigfoot crew was going to be there, how many people do you think show up?
Oh, my God. Man.
You think they'd have a hall big enough to hold us?
No. Thank Godfather, you probably have to sell tickets.
That's what she does.
And that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to sell. You got the RSVP. They know Searching for Bigfoot's going to be there. I can tell you that now.
Yeah, and thank you for that. Rocky, what do you say?
That's what I'm saying. Everybody will be there.
Yeah. You know who I love and champions behind me all because he experienced it there in I think it was Ford, Texas, or wherever the hell we ended up. Swede, you on there?
I am.
Okay. Tell everybody out there, well, Harriet, just stay there. I'm just reiterating what you're saying. What town was it that we showed up in? It was in Texas.
Rockwell.
That's it. And how many people, when they found out we were there, just kept on coming for photographs and pictures?
Oh my
gosh!
Took
6 hours to eat supper.
we were there at the Italian restaurant with the baked pasta, and then it turned out to be about another, oh gosh, Tom, I don't know what, it's probably an hour and a half of nothing but photos and autographs.
It was crazy, and wasn't it? Yeah. I'm doing this for your benefit, Harriet.
Yes.
You know, you've been with the rest. Now what you got to do is come with the best, girlfriend, okay, because you hear these stories, and then when you find out who the real, like Leo says, the godfather of Bigfoot is, and you're going to hear Don Monroe towards the end of the show, the last 25 minutes anyway. He'll tell you the story that he's been with me and on a lot of expeditions and what he's experienced. But I thought it was so cute the way you tell that story. So now that was the first year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us what happened the second year.
Okay, well, the second year, well, first of all, we had to move after the first year because we exceeded the fire limit. And so we moved, and we had an absolutely fantastic conference. We had, again, over 750 people. And this time they came to the middle of Nebraska, the middle of the United States, from 19 different states showed up in Nebraska. In the middle of February, that's pretty outstanding. So we were really happy with that. And it wasn't long after our conference that I began thinking about having a museum in Nebraska. Because, again, we were in the middle of the country, but there was no museum. And the closest one to us was over 500 miles away. And so that was basically my second dream, was to have a museum, because I had collected things for over 50 years. And up until a year ago, I didn't know I had a dining room table because it was buried.
Are you what's called a hoarder?
Well, I think I have been called that among lots of other names, but I did not have any place to put all of the things that I had collected, so I thought it was time.
So how big is your museum?
My museum is, I can't tell you the exact square feet. It's got about 20 exhibits in it. Each one is kind of in a mini room. And then we recently, in fact, we're just now completing an addition, because the day we opened, I realized that we were completely out of room. And so now we have just completed another addition, and we've got 13 more exhibits. And the one thing I really wanted to say about that is our goal for the conference and the museum both has always been that we would be historical, educational, and scientific. And if a speaker or an exhibit does not fit into all three of those categories, then I can guarantee you they are not coming to my conference. And so I think we have built a really, really sound reputation. And what that has done for us is that speakers and well-known Bigfooters all over the world have started sending us things for our exhibit. They've sent us pictures and letters and all kinds of things. And Don Monroe, by the way, is one of our very favorite partners and advisors in our museum.
Well, that's not no news for me. I can vouch for Don Monroe. He's the one that puts boots on the ground. He doesn't sit there and bullshit to everybody and tell stories and go on the computer and steal other people's stuff. That I can vouch for. And he knows what he's talking about. You bet.
I agree.
You got yourself a great confidant and a consultant, believe me. Make sure you pay him every month.
Oh, yes, I do. The check's in the mail.
I'd say something, but this is a clean show. So let me ask you this, Harriet. Have you seen the creature yourself or some of his remnants? Like air samples or anything?
Yes. I've seen him twice, both times in Colorado, but it was quite a distance. And as far as samples, I do not have here. We have a lot of footprints in our museum, the cast, and we have handprints in our museum also. We have got samples of Don's braided horsehair from all over the country. And also a thing that we're working on brand new is one part of our new museum is an international exhibit. And I am getting pictures and letters I've got from Australia and England and Guatemala and Russia. So that's our goal, is to make this international.
Do you charge at the door, or you ask for donations?
Well, the last time I asked for donations, I had a bucket sitting in it. And after a year, I got $1.46.
Oh, so you're going to get rich real quick.
But, yes, we do have an admission, and it's $5 per person. But people that have a military card always get to come in free.
That's great. Let's hope to God that the Air Force and Army bases and the Navy bases don't all let out in your town. You'll go broke real quick.
Yeah. That'd be a nice crowd.
I know for you it would be. You bet, honey. So what do you have on the drawing board?
What do we have on the drawing board? Well, this spring we've kind of got everything canceled for right now, just like everybody all over the country has. We had a conference that I'd worked on for a solid year, And about a month before, everything was canceled. So we lost a year there. And also, we were going to have a grand opening for the second half of our museum, and we also lost that. But I think it was a good thing because we've really ramped it up and made it a lot more interesting and different, I might add. And we were just recently, we got the honor of being on the Nebraska Tourism, the Passport Program. And that's quite an honor because they only choose one outstanding site out of each city, and we were chosen for Hastings. So we're really glad about that.
What's the population of Hastings?
It's about 25,000.
The entire city?
Yep.
What's the entire population of Nebraska?
Ooh, I don't know for sure. We only have two really big cities, would be Omaha and Lincoln. But,
okay. The only thing I remember about Nebraska is when I was going down that highway coming back west, I stopped at Cabela's.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay. And then I stopped in Lincoln. Lincoln, I think, was a college town, wasn't it?
Yes, the University of Nebraska is in Lincoln.
Yeah,
and
we met a bunch of people there too, but otherwise it was kind of flat. That's what I do remember. But
it's very flat, yes.
Yeah, I can tell you this. You're a hoot, and I'm going to be putting you on my list. And that's
Uh-oh.
Not a bucket list, but on the list when we're down in that area coming out and seeing you.
If you do
want to increase your when you're up and running again, and you want to increase your patronage, let me know. Maybe I'll send out parts of my crew. But if I come out, it's going to cost you money. I'm like Meldrum. And let me tell you something about Meldrum. Meldrum doesn't like me, nor does he like our friend Don Monroe. And the reason being is we're the only ones that have stood up to this clown and told him what it was all about. And I'm sure Don will tell you if he hasn't told you already. So we Don and I and a lot of the people from Searching for Bigfoot, we're the people that actually have boots on the ground, Harriet, and we're
yes.
the ones that go out there. Now, have you seen any of my movies?
No.
Shame on you. You said you've been in this business 50 years?
Longer than that. I've probably been in
You've got a problem. You've been under a rock, girl. And let me tell you why. Anybody who's in this business of Bigfoot, i.e., heard of Tom Biscardi, good, bad, or indifferent. Okay?
Well, I have definitely heard of you, but I don't watch movies very much, but I read a lot.
Well, you've seen the Patty film, haven't you?
Yes. In fact,
Why did you watch the Patty film?
I've only seen it on television and everything else about 500 times now.
You know what I'm going to do? You send me your address, and I'll have the office when they reopen up, send you out some of my movies and educate you real well. And you'll even see your partner, Don Monroe, there in Texas. And you'll blow your mind to see how he is out in the field. And he's one of the best. I'll tell you that straight up, girl. You're very lucky to have him with you.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Okay, so you got nothing going the rest of the year, or what are you going to do?
Well, we've got our third grand opening date set for June 4th, and we also do campouts. We've got about 30 miles from right here in Hastings. We have got our own private grounds for a campout, and so we can take groups there and spend the weekend with us, and we do a lot of that. I also talk to schools.
Well, wait a minute. When you take them out on a weekend jaunt in the park somewhere, do you charge them money?
Yes, but it's only the money, basically, it covers what they eat. And it's not a park. It's a private acreage where we go. It's right on the Little Blue River, and every now and then they have visitors that are tall and hairy. And we just have a really good time. We have campfires and stories and good food and hiking. And
so it's like the Boy Scouts.
We're better than the Boy Scouts because they have me.
Okay. The Boy Scouts with the what's the leader of the Girl Scouts?
Well, my name is the Bigfoot Lady. That's what they call
so
me.
So then they got the Boy Scouts with the Bigfoot Lady telling them some stories.
That's
right. About it?
Well, no. We always have guest speakers that come. And, of course, we have a lot of researchers that live, you know, fairly close around us. And so they usually come to our campouts. And also, we have a brand new member to our team, Kenny Collins, just moved here from Estes Park. He is going to be a partner in my museum with me. And Kenny is known as the Bigfoot guy. And he's, you know, organized different conferences in Estes Park. But he's a very good, what can I say, ambassador for our group. And he goes to nursing homes and he entertains kids at birthday parties and all kinds of stuff like that. So every now and then he shows up quite unexpectedly at our campouts.
Isn't that wonderful? God bless him, man, for taking his time and sharing it with the people at nursing homes and with these kids that aren't doing well. Like I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I told you she'd be a hoot, and I really enjoy her. Someday I will meet her. I tried to look up her website. She doesn't know what it is. Did you find out what your website was?
Yes, I did.
What is it?
It's NebraskaBigfoot.org. O-R-G.
NebraskaBigfoot.org.
Okay, yes.
Good. Now, if people need to get a hold of you and they want to talk to you about maybe sending you a donation, sending you some hair samples, some whatever, how do they do it?
My telephone number is area code 402-705-0000.
Now listen to that again, ladies and gentlemen. It's really cool. And she's not a zero or a blank. It's 402-705-0000. I love that number. I'll give you $100 just to buy your phone number.
Well, I'm sorry, but the reason they gave it to me was because they knew I couldn't remember anything. So all I have to remember now is 705.
Now I understand. And they're not too far off either. By the way, have any of my work in your museum?
Not yet, but I expect a package in the mail any day now.
Really? There was that other adage, but I told you it was a clean show, which I can't say. But listen, Harriet, it's been a true hoot to have you with us. God love you. I wish you all the greatest luck in the world. And again, like I told you, if I'm ever up in that area, we'll put you on a list of things to stop by and do. And like I do with all of the people that we come up and see, so you can save your money. We'll take you to dinner. You don't have to spend any money on us, okay?
That's great. And I tell you what, when you come to Nebraska, you would be as welcome as the flowers in springtime.
Ooh, you crazy as a bitsy bug in May, girl. Don't say that to Tom Biscardi. You get aroused. Wow. That's too much, I'll tell you. Well, in any event, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Harriet McFreely, Nebraska. And remember what she's – I call it the Nebraska Bigfoot Museum. Go see her website, NebraskaBigfoot.org, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Harriet.
Thank you.
We got your boyfriend's coming on the line here, Don Monroe. Ladies and gentlemen, that was unbelievable. Harriet McFreely, nice gal. I really enjoy her. Go to her website, NebraskaBigfoot.org, O-R-G. And if you're ever in Nebraska, stop by and see her museum. It's probably an enticing place. It would be a lot better if they had some of Biscardi stuff, but Biscardi puts it in his own museum. Wow, without any further ado, and I know that you guys have been waiting to hear from him, my compadre, my fellow entrepreneur and adventurer, Mr. Don Monroe from up there in Montana. Don, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. Such an introduction like that, I've almost got to swallow my gum. But
how you been?
I tell you what, this introduction, folks, is a little bit true, but a little bit besides yourself. But anyway, It's been 15 years since Tom and I have bivouacked together, and that's been quite a while. We did a lot of things in the old days. We had his Ramrod Java Bob on there. And it was really quite an experience. And Tom did the one thing I can give him credit for the world-renowned. He travels more miles in 24 hours, 24 days, and 24 months than anybody I've ever seen in an effort to bring in new information to you. Harriet's case, I've been there to the museum with her working with her at times and things and her conferences. And I got to give her a plug on this thing. Her Nebraska area is so incredibly, it's unknown to me that I never thought about Sasquatch being in that kind of area or wild people or that kind of thing. But the corn in that that area, like Kansas and Nebraska and so on, is so prevalent and so much of it. Now, everywhere you go in the country, you have a horizon sometimes miles away. But in Nebraska, it's only 100 yards of cornfields. They can be right there behind the house eating the corn. You never know it. And I first crossed Nebraska on a freight train as a kid, and I haven't been back since I went back there 2 or 3 years ago. But I had no idea that Nebraska has so much of a population of possible Sasquatch Bigfoot creatures. And I could go in all night about that. But we did discover, they came to our meetings she talked about, their campouts, and the classical owl sounds came and all the things that Bigfooters seem to realize. And I'm a guy with the wind for a maid and the rain for a butler, so I don't have too many, memories of a lot of shows or places I go often, but I live pretty primitive, and I'm a primitive person in that interesting thing, the way I do this. I go out and explore right on the ground with these creatures, and so I've seen over a dozen, but I won't go into that too much, but it's been over a 60-year period, you see, not tomorrow morning and yesterday. It's been hit and miss. I currently have four I know about for 3 years now, well, since 2017, where they're living at, and I don't divulge that. And I got three guys knew about it, and one of them died. But so now me and another fella out in Florida, Carl Backett, he's the only person who knows where this location is at. And it's... there's four of them. I've been putting out blankets for them and food and items like that and trinkets and interactions. And it's an amazing story, but I may write about it sometime if I get time. But we're still doing that. I'm going back there in about two more weeks.
How many books have you done?
Pardon me?
How many books have you authored?
Well, I've written about, I guess the last one I put on the market still out there on Amazon is called The Horses Are Coming. It's a real abstract, but it's a takeoff of Sasquatch activity too, and it's got a 5-star rating. It's on the internet as The Horses Are Coming. I don't remember the big IBS number, but it's on there for about $20 or something like that. But it's been a seller that people who have horses, you know, are really interested in what happens to their horses, and it's a
well,
long study.
How many books have you done?
1, 2, 3, 4, I guess.
1, 2, 3.
But my
four.
Books are out of print, and. Yeah, they're out of print because I haven't carry them on for these years, and it's just a long story. I wrote one called Sasquatch 2001 and 2003 was a rebuttal to what the letters came on no more about the first book, and I didn't plan to write two books. And now the third one is this one here, and I've got one I've written, a manuscript called What the Hell, and it's not being printed yet because of the pictures in it. They aren't satisfied with the pictures being, State of the Ark, and it can't be. That's not a problem yet, but it might be. But that book is an introduction to all the mysteries in the world you might have run across that aren't necessarily related. But there is What the Hell book is coming out. I've got one, too, I'm going to write here soon called The Burnt Pages. I tossed in a fire one time a while back a lot of manuscripts I'd written and never been published, thinking they weren't worth a darn, and I dug them out before I burned them all up. So I decided to take the excerpts out of those books and write another book and called The Burnt Pages. I'm working on that now if I get a chance. So I've written more books than I've had published, and I got piles of manuscripts. I should get them done sometime. I haven't done it. Priorities coming away. You're out in the field a lot. I'm never in town much. I stay in the wilderness quite a bit. When you're watching television, I'm watching bonfires. So I don't have a lot of use for cities, and so I can adjust when I'm there, but I'm glad to leave.
Well, you know, we talked earlier about a gentleman you and I both know, and I know I have no respect for, but I want your take on it. Jeff Meldrum.
Well, you know, Jeff's got his right to believe in what he wants to, and he's got his professional self to take care of, and he really, I can't really put any bad things about Jeff out there, but I don't believe one bit in a Gigantopithecus, being a Bigfoot or Sasquatch, any part of that. And that's a big criteria between me and him. He insists that they're a Gigantopithecus, and I don't go with this at all. And I could tell you many reasons, but being a person in his position and not realize the importance of opposed fingers and thumbs, and they wouldn't have one, and they couldn't even do anything that the Bigfooters claim they've witnessed and done and seen. And this mid-tarsal break is no big deal. We all have one of our own kinds, something like it. And you go on and on with this thing about Jeff. I give him credit for making the effort to make the effort, and then that's the way it goes. As far as defending himself, he can't. He's not here to rebuttal what I'm saying. But I've known Jeff quite a while, and we aren't bosom buddies or anything, but he was at a conference a while back over at Harriet's, and I was at the conference too, and he came in and put out his cast and things and sold a book, a racing book. It's pretty well written, but you got to look at it with your tongue-in-cheek and think about it. But it's not all bad. It's got some good things in it. But then I went by his table, and we didn't have a real, how you say, in communist way of communicating anymore, so I just didn't say a word, and examined his books, and I gave him a $20 bill and bought one, and I said, "Do you want it signed?" I says, "Well, if you sign it the way I want it signed, I certainly would." Yeah, he says, "How do you want it signed?" I says, "Well, put down there to the comparable from the comparable." He says, "What does that mean?" I says, "Well, what you know and I know and what I think I know and what you think you know." So he did sign it, and I appreciated it. He put down from the comparable to the comparable, and then signed his name. And I treasure that one thing because he got the message that there's not everybody going to compare to his things exactly the same as he thinks he's comparing to ours. And actually, he's got a position where academics have the floor, you might say, that in people wanting to be on their side of belief. And I won't go into detail, but there's been many things he's put down that many people have sent it to him that as not being a valid. You know, the lay people out there, I'm one of them, I'm a maverick explorer, and I'm not a Bigfooter, actually, but I've seen over a dozen, and over the 60 years I've been doing this, and that's not a joke. I've seen three of them last July with M.K. Davis, and we went to Bluff Creek at least 15 times and proved that Bluff Creek drainage, mountain ranges are full of these creatures, and they're still down there. The relatives of Patty Sasquatch in 1967 are still down there, and in the same close proximities where she was seen. And I got a concussion last July down there, Pellin's situation. I think it's on the internet, M.K. Davis's blog. You can see me being strangely fell into a pile of rocks and sticks where some say I was pushed. Well, I don't think I was pushed, but I don't know. I never remember even falling down. And suddenly I flew into these rocks and things, and that was all the people with me. There was four of us that claim I was pushed. But it's not a thing I'm going to ad lib on because I don't know how I was pushed, but it's a strange story. But anyway, I got hurt pretty bad in the ear. My ear got penetrated, and I have lost part of my hearing in that ear a little bit. And, you know, if things happen to you, the dues you pay for what you do. But we're going back there again sometime again, and we've got reasons to. And Bluff Creek has been just barely touched about what was possible down there. It's a magic country, and it's got a personality all by itself. And the book, I want to plug it here because it's so important. And it's David Palladi's book on the Hoopa Project. That book is so full of information that's valid to me. And I've interviewed the Indians down there, too, and all kind of people. And it just hits home. And I really want people to know that book, The Hoopa Project by David Palladi, should be read. And you think what you want to about it. But I don't even know David personally. But I know that book is outstanding. And as far
good.
As Tom and I go
have
down.
Have you read the book?
Yes, I have.
And you thought it was outstanding?
I think it is.
Okay, well, here's something for you. Put some information in your pipe. Meldrum did a part in a movie called Bigfoot, A Beast on the Run. And, of course, they took some outtakes of me
Henner Fehrenbach, Jason Valenti, and Tom Powell, and you, okay? And I'm curious, how much did you get paid for that, by the way?
I haven't been paid a nickel in my entire, not a profession, in my interest level. I mean, I'm a Maverick Explorer. I've never received a dime from anybody from a wage since I began this thing.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
And it says here, product details, actors, Jeff Feldrum. Guess who they got next, the next name? Tom Biscardi. Tom Biscardi. The next one is Henna Fehrenbach, the doctor. Then Jason Valenti and Tom Powell. And they got you at the end. And I'm thinking to myself, really? They never got my permission for this.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, well, I never did.
I never heard of that book.
It only has 2.5 stars, and there's only 8 customer ratings, so that goes to show
you. What year did it come out? What year did that book come out?
Not a book. It's a movie. It's 2009, October 23rd.
Well, I never even heard of it.
It's an hour and 90. But that's okay. You know what I mean? If he needs to run on my shirt tails, I understand, okay?
And here's the thing
that I'm going to tell you, and you were there. When you were out there with me in Paris, Texas, out there at Lamar Point, how many prints did you see that night?
Well, we saw quite a few. I don't remember the count, but I cast for you over 100.
Thank you.
And over the time, and it was really amazing because we had with us one female, Becky Sawyer was her name, from New York, and she was an explorer, and I think she has a blog yet, I don't know. But her and I found, I think, the only time, she saw them first, ahead of me 2 steps, but it was a major discovery to me. I got pictures of it.
Don't say a word, because I remember it like it was yesterday when you guys called me. Ladies and gentlemen,
anyway,
make a discovery, him and Becky, the first time ever, besides the mother or father footprints, there were baby footprints.
Yeah, I got the cast. Yeah, I got the cast, yeah.
Amazing, wasn't it?
And Becky was so excited because, well, she's a female, and they need credit. You know, women don't get cut short all the time. And I was sure to make it known that she saw them first, but it was a matter of stepping here and stepping there. But I got good pictures on my own here, photographs. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. But she sat there and then took those pictures, and she was so proud of them. And Tom is too, and they are the only ones existing that I know about. I got baby footprints from Bluff Creek now too. M.K. Davis and I took those, and they're amazing what they are. And that's quite a story itself. We're taking all night to tell you about it. But we got 2 good casts, baby ones, and one of them got broken accidentally, and before he got out of there. And I could talk all night and not tell you a thing really. But they did a lot of things in Bluff Creek that are amazing down there. And we've seen Sasquatch there. M.K. Davis's report on his blog will show a lot of pictures. And some of them are included where in 2007, especially, as important ones where he took
logs
and things.
I got to tell you a story, okay, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
To me very closely. When I first met Don, I talked to him about he had this hand that was given to him by the police department. And not many people really believed in it, except for there was one guy that took it all around to try to get the origin of this hand. And who was that guy, Don?
Well, it was lucky 2 guys. Before you had one, but you're the one that did the main job. And it now is in the Texas
Museum
down there.
Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Don was on the phone with me when the people from Pennsylvania came and gave us the results. Remember what
That's
the results
true.
Were, Don?
Yeah. Yeah, I had it by accident. I'm not much of a cell phone person, but I had the cell phone and I hit the right button and recorded that on there, what they said to us. And from memory, paraphrased, of course, it was to the fact that this is an unknown creature, but so-and-so's on a vacation. And they went around the horn to get rid of any possibility of making it valid, but it was all valid information. Nevertheless, it was something very unusual and strange. And so it still now exists in the museum down in Texas with Joe Taylor at Crosbyton, Texas. And it's on display down there temporarily. And we may move it to Nebraska for a while. And I got this one more creature to tell you about. I have found more than one, but I got one that has been going around for 15 years with that hand, not with it, but at the same time. And we found a stone head in the mountains in Montana in the Fintlaw Range in 2001, and it was a stone head carving. It just came back to me this last two or three weeks from California, where it was in the keep of Molly Hart Leverts, who was the person who was getting it analyzed down there. It's been all over the country, and it's called the Naga head. Naga means cobra. But anyway, it's not been identified. It's had over 100 different associations with people with comparative museums and professionals of all kinds. They can't identify what the hell, who made it. It made this creature's head. With the broken off of a statue, apparently. It appears that way, like a broken head off of a statue. Was hunting bears at the time. I'm a hunting guide. I used to be on. And we were hunting bears at that time with a fellow. And we had a bear down below in the berry patch, and we were going to shoot it, and we did. And it came back to this stone I saw going by. We walked past it. It turned out to be this very strange head. Well, that's right now going to be going to museums for a while on display. I'm going to do that.
Good. Listen, I don't want to, because we only got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
And I want to make
an
announcement to the people around the globe. So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what's going to happen. I'm in negotiation right now. I'm going to be under contract with a partner. You might know this guy's name. I told you his initials, DB, Detron Bendris. He used to be with Two Live Crew, was the recording artist way back, okay? Well, we're going to have our own TV station with Bigfoot every week, so people will be able to go on your TV, not on the your screen for the computers anymore. Now you can go to your TV and watch Searching for Bigfoot every week. And what we're going to do, we're going to take excerpts from every one of the 8 movies we've done and have those people who were there, and they will be there with us and tell the stories like it was just yesterday. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. So I'm letting you know, tell the world, we'll have a big show on it. I may have him on next week. Remember his name, Detron Bendris, okay? And anybody that has Roku TV, that's the channel we're going to be on. It's an amazing thing, folks, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's a thing of the future, and nobody has ever had a weekly television show to talk about Bigfoot, having their guests on live, and especially we're the innovative group. We're the people who are out there. We're dreamers. We make our dreams come true, folks, and you're hearing it first here on my show. So remember that, jot it down, and guess what? Would you believe it? Another hour has gone. I want to thank my guest, Leo. I want to thank Harriet from the bottom of my heart. Don Monroe, I don't know what else to say. And by the way, Roger Mazzell, if you got your ears on, you're with us. Thanks, buddy, for the TO and of some great people. And for my new future partner, Detron Bendris, I hope you listen to the show tonight. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week. Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day.